I obviously think the price will go up just because of the scarcity nature of Bitcoin. User to Bitcoin ratio will increase, and that's what's gonna drive up the price. In a year, which would be the halving year, I expect the price to go, let's say, probably around 100K.
Introducing the Blockware Marketplace. Start mining Bitcoin today. This has the potential to transform the mining industry, as now anyone can buy a Bitcoin ASIC using on-chain or Lightning, see its historical and live hash rate before purchasing, and be earning Bitcoin mining rewards in minutes. This brings transparency and turnkey mining to a whole other level. Start mining Bitcoin today at marketplace.blockwaresolutions.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Blockware Intelligence Podcast. This week I have on Marco Tarman from NiceHash. Marco, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, glad to have you. I always like to start out with getting to know people, like getting to know their background, getting to know how they got into Bitcoin. Can you tell us how you got into Bitcoin?
Yes, sure. So that was back in 2012, so it will be 12 years soon. Me and my brother always did some geeky stuff, and he once told me that, hey, there's a way to earn money with our PCs, let's start mining with our GPUs. And yeah, we tried. At the time we still mined Bitcoin with the GPUs. I think the first ASICs come then, because I remember we tried to order the Butterfly Labs Jalapeno. I'm sure some listeners know about it, because it was basically a big scam. Yeah, and that was my first, let's say, touch with the ASIC. And since then, I kind of hated them, because you know it was a really bad experience. We then mined Litecoin, Dogecoin, Wordcoin, and soon after that, Ethereum. I tried a little bit more luck with D3 from Antminer, and I got burned again. So that was another impression not to use ASICs. But of course, right now, I was just stupid back then, and I should, like, if it's Bitcoin mining, then ASICs are the way to go, obviously.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I guess the mining, you know, hardware industry has changed a lot since Butterfly Labs days.
Exactly. Yeah, and since then, I mean, in 2016 or 17, I operated a 200 kilowatt GPU mining farm, and in 2018, I joined NiceHash.
Very cool. That's interesting.
That's shortly my story.
Nice, I like it. So, when you originally found out about mining back in 2012, like, were you interested in Bitcoin, or was it just like you and your brother found out, like, hey, like, we can plug in our computers and run this like software, and all of a sudden, like, we create this digital currency that we can sell for like real money? Or did you guys like keep the money or keep the digital, the Bitcoin?
So I didn't learn much about Bitcoin. I mean, I had the basics, you know, how to transfer and all that stuff. But I would say I truly understand what Bitcoin is, let's say in 17 or 18 when I joined NiceHash. But before that, it was just like, hey, we can do this cool stuff, we can earn money. You know, that was the best stuff. I at the time was still in high school, so you know, if you're in high school, if you're making $100 or $500 a month, that's fair enough.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that's what is interesting to me. Like, I feel like a lot of people in like the early mining days, at least that I've talked to, they like kind of just like discovered that, like, hey, I can run this like weird computer or plug in this weird computer, and like it prints this digital money that's obviously fake, but I can somehow sell it for real money, and that's pretty cool. And it's like now Bitcoiners, you know, in the world are like, wait, no, I'd rather just hold the Bitcoin. So it's like fascinating that there was like a whole different segment of the community that like had no interest in all of Bitcoin, but like mined it just because of the natural economic incentives to do so, like you're pointing out.
Exactly.
Crazy. So cool. So you've been in the mining industry for, like you said, almost 12 years at this point, which is pretty crazy. You saw the Butterfly Lab days, and then you saw like the early Bitmain days. And now like we're full blown like Bitmain MicroBT producing some pretty powerful ASICs. I guess where do you see the Bitcoin mining industry, in 10 years since you've already seen the last 10 years?
Yeah, so it's already happening that mining is becoming an industry. There's less and less retail people included in the atmosphere. With ASICs, there's pretty much really hard to mine at home, because obviously the sound, it's really loud. I mean the noise. Then you have the high power usage. They're really hot, so. At home, you probably cannot run more than a couple, for example. And yeah, the whole industry is moving towards centralization because only the big miners can operate efficiently. And in the long run, I think that there's only going to be big mining farms that can get really cheap power. So. Maybe we'll have 100 of these companies that have electricity under 5 cents, for example. And they will kind of mine pretty much like 90% of the blocks. Yeah, so regarding how the mining will look in 10 years, it's gonna have way less margins, I think. Because the hash rate is growing faster than the prices. So every 4 years, obviously, there's halving, and in 10 years, there's almost going to be three halvings until then. And the block reward will go down to how much? 0.78 bitcoins per block. And if the price doesn't double every 4 years, so if it doubles every 4 years, the price in 10 years must be around 250,000 Ks, which is doable, but the hash rate at the current rate is growing way faster than doubling every cycle. Currently it quadruples, I think. And if it will quadruple for the next 3 cycles, the price required to sustain the current profitability will be almost 2 millions. Which I am strong believer in Bitcoin and its price, which it will reach, hopefully in 10 years. But it's a really big jump for 10 years. But then again, in the last 10 years, we have seen such huge jump also.
Yeah, fair. I guess, do you see, like, I agree with pretty much most of what you said. Do you see, like, the miners that will be around in 10 years, do you think they're going to be, like, large public miners that, like, just own data centers or host machines and they only mine Bitcoin? Or do you see it, like, merging more with, like, energy, like, the energy industry? Like, if someone owns a nuclear power plant, do you think that they'll be the ones mining a lot of the Bitcoin and like, maybe like, in Texas where they have like those demand response programs where they can turn off their machines and it kind of balances the grid and you can get super cheap energy. You could sell it back to the grid when you want. Do you think that will become more prevalent, or do you think that there will still be like farms out there that are large running at like 99.9% uptime and just like all they do is focus on mining as much Bitcoin as possible?
So, I think there are definitely going to be miners mining full time. I think a lot of miners will focus on high power computing because the miners, they know how to operate at low cost with low get as lowest price as possible of electricity. And if you compare Bitcoin mining to high power computing, as far as I know, high power computing yields more than Bitcoin mining, not based on the capital expense, but based on the amount of work you have to do to get to that level, or when you start mining or selling the high or doing the high power computing. And On the other matter, I think that as long as Bitcoin miners use excess electricity, the government will allow it. If we will see a lot of power plants start mining by themselves, so they might be mining instead of selling the electricity, I think that the government will step in and say, "Hey, I mean, at the end of the day, we people at home will pay way more for the electricity than we would." Because if you imagine if every power plant starts using half of their production for mining, that's just not gonna make that there's not gonna be enough electricity for other industries, you know, or even home consumers. So yeah, I think the government would step in that case.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it's going to play out. I definitely think like Bitcoin miners are like energy buyers of last resort, where it's like if you have a power plant or whether it's like a nuclear plant or you have a solar farm or whatnot, maybe you have, excess energy that like, 20% of the time is not being used, or like 20% of your capacity is not being used like 80% of the time. And maybe that will go to like all of the Bitcoin miners. But then the moment I agree, like other industries or consumers or hospitals or education, the moment like they need energy, they're probably going to be willing to outbid the Bitcoin miners because the Bitcoin miners need like a ridiculously cheap energy. So
Exactly.
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for sure. I guess like on that note of like self-mining energy producers, like who do you think will own the Bitcoin mining machines? Like, do you think it's going to continue to be like public companies that are focusing on mining as much Bitcoin as possible, private companies that are like, maybe optimizing for how much cash they can generate like every single year? Or like, is it going to be like retail investors like speculating on, the price of Bitcoin? What do you think of, who's going to own the actual hardware?
Really hard to say. One option could be government-backed companies, because if Bitcoin goes even bigger, then think there could be some, let's say, wars in that. Not directly wars, but governments might be fighting for, because they wouldn't let the one government to control majority of hash rate, which is obviously bad. So there will pro if there isn't already some government backed companies that do the mining, but I still think that there's going to be a lot of privately owned companies, publicly listed companies, but again, just the ones that can get to the cheap power. So,
Yeah, that's fair. Do you have a kind of a side question, but do you have an opinion on like we've seen the news that like El Salvador wants to mine Bitcoin, or they're currently mining Bitcoin, or they want to like get deep into Bitcoin mining. Do you think that that's going to be a trend that we continue to see over time, or is that just going to be like a weird fad that, will go away?
I think El Salvador is quite has quite specific situation, because they're like a small country. They have a lot of volcano energy, and they're just trying to see how will this work out. Not necessarily how, but if they can leverage this in their advantage, obviously. But I don't necessarily think that all the governments will start doing it, because again, are all governments do the mobile automobile industry, or let's say, do the governments do, I don't know, just some industry that's some other industry? They don't, right? So they don't interfere as much, so they leave that to the individuals, if they're not like a communist or socialist government. But yeah, I think not many governments will do it, but some might.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I guess it's really going to be interesting to see how it plays out, right? I kind of agree that El Salvador is probably going to be like an exception of they're not going to, like, most governments are not going to get into Bitcoin mining. They won't really care unless they are like a socialist or communist government where they already control all many other industries. But I kind of see it like,
yeah.
Or were we going to add?
It's like a bet, I would say. Because for governments, I think the governments look at Bitcoin still like, there's still might not be so serious about it, but El Salvador, I guess they're kind of betting on Bitcoin. I think they're doing the right thing, but still, if you take a look from the other side, like they're just doing. I think it's a bet. And see how it will play out.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, the only other scenario that I can just think of out loud is, say, like, we somehow do go through like a very tough like financial period where, like, you know, the dollar loses, like, you know, its status as global reserve currency, and like investors around the world within the next, you know, 6 years before the 2028 halving, like, panic into Bitcoin because they, you know, can't hold treasuries and they can't hold, you know, other financial assets that they thought were very trustworthy and thought were at great valuations, and a lot of capital floods into Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's yet, you know, $1 million plus by, you know, 2028 or before 2028. Then I could see a scenario where like mining looks so profitable that everyone's trying to get involved, and including governments, and, you know, that could be US government, could be European governments, could be China. But if it looks really, because I know, going back to what we were talking about, like, if the price of Bitcoin goes soaring right now, it's more about like, can you buy ASICs and can you deploy them and can you hook them up to energy? Like, for hash rate exactly to like double from here is not necessarily going to be Bitmain coming out with like a 1x a hash machine, which would probably be impossible anytime soon. But it would be more of like Bitmain selling millions and millions of machines, and then people around the world finding the power to plug them into. So if like Bitcoin price is crazy, then it seems like everyone's going to be wanting to mine Bitcoin, including the governments.
Yeah, that's true. But at that time, it's already going to be too late, because the world cannot produce so many ASICs so fast, I think. It just comes back to this straight fact that there's a limited amount of hardware you can produce. And as you said, they're not going to produce one exahash ASIC quite soon yet. But and efficiency actually isn't going up so fast neither. So I think the ASICs are already on 5 or even 3 nanometers. So there's no more room, like, regarding the chip size. There's no room left to go. They're already using the smallest chips possible. So what else can they do? Maybe, I don't know, is there a way to optimize mining, except for liquid cooling, so immersion? What the miners are doing now is obviously using immersion to increase the efficiency. That was like the last, as far as I know, that was the last step or way to increase the efficiency of the miners. I'm really interested about the next model from Antminer or WattsMiner. Is it going to be way more profitable, or the performance will not, let's say, double? Or because,
yeah, I agree. I mean, the trend is pretty obvious. It's like the idea of ASIC commoditization, where like the next generation ASIC is not going to be multiples more efficient than the previous generation. It makes, yeah, it's definitely a trend that I expect to continue, exactly as you're pointing, yeah, out.
If we take a look at S17, and S19, they almost double the hash rate. And if we go down, I mean, if we go back, I hope they're gonna double it, but who knows?
Yeah, fair. So we know you got the Nice Hash shirt on, and you obviously work at Nice Hash. So let's talk about that. Like, what is Nice Hash? What is the product that you guys have?
Okay, so I normally start like this, that many people know have heard about NiceHash. Some have used us, but not many understand what we do. So we've been around since 2014, and since then the core product has been Spot Hashrate Marketplace, or in other words, it's live on-demand hashrate marketplace, which basically means that the buyer of Hashrate can get on-demand hashrate instantly, and he or she can use that hashrate for as long as they want. So there's no contracts whatsoever to buy the hashrate. So you just simply buy it, use that hashrate on any of the pools, or on your own pool, solo mining pool, for as long as you want. So that could be for 10 seconds or 10 days. And yeah, we just connect, let's say, millions of sellers of Hashrate with couple thousands or 10,000s of buyers. And yeah, that's the core product.
Yeah, very cool. So I'm curious, like who are the sellers of the hash rate? Is it just miners that don't want to point their rigs to a mining pool? They just want to sell it on NiceHash instead, their hash rate?
So the sellers are either retail users, big mining farms. We don't care because we make hash rate a commodity, and one hash is one hash for us. So we don't care if it's big mining farms, small users. We welcome everyone. And why they would use NiceHash is simply because of the fact that they're getting paid more than mining on a pool. I will touch more about this when explaining why would someone buy the hash rate. But another reason why people are using NiceHash is because they're actually selling the compute power through NiceHash. So NiceHash is just a tool, just an actual marketplace on the farmer's market when the two sides are connected. But we do this anonymously, without anyone knowing each other. So there could be 1,000 sellers connecting to one buyer, and if you, for example, have two ASICs, one of your ASIC will go to the buyer one, and the second one might go to the buyer two, and you do not know. The user experience is identical to mining the pool, so there's no difference at all. And yeah, you're selling the compute power, the hash rate. On
Nice.
the others, on the other side, the buyers, for them, only the sky's the limit. Their imagination, what they can do with the hash rate. If I explain the most obvious reason why someone would buy the hash rate is because they're getting it at a lower price, so under hash price. And then they're using that hash rate to mine on a pool. And basically, what they're doing is they're doing arbitrage trading with the hash rate. They buy, let's say, 5% under hash price, and then they get, let's say, 100% back. So that's one way why someone would buy the hash rate. The other one would be, for example, solo miners. And solo miners, they're trying their let's say, they try to mine a solo block with a burst of hash rate. So, for example, they're buying 500 petahash or 1 exahash for 1 hour. And in that time frame, they have on average about six, let's say, tries to confirm a block. And if they're lucky, they get 6.8 in bitcoins back right now. And they're willing to pay premium price for that hash, for on-demand hash rate, because it gives them, it's not so much difference if you pay $1,000 for hypothetically 100 petahash, or 100 and or $1,100. Sorry, 1,000. So 1000 or 1100. It doesn't make much difference because they have to outbid the buyer I explained before. So the conventional buyer, that's how we call them. And these conventional buyers do the arbitrage trading. And the other buyers, the solo miners, they have to outbid for the available hash rate to get it. That's why the pay rate on IceHash is on average 6.5% higher than mining through a pool. But the buyer is still using that hash rate to mine on a pool. So at the end of the day, someone as a miner is still contributing to the security of blockchain. It's not that their hash rate is being used for something completely different. It's still mining. And one interesting way of how NiceHash can be used as a miner, as a buyer, sorry, is as an insurance for miners, for mining farms, if they have an obligation to provide the hash rate to someone. So let's say I have a contract with my client that their uptime is 99%, and they have 100 petahash. And if my farm goes down, if fire happens, if flood happens, for some reason my farm goes down, then I can use NiceHash and get that hash rate to my client in next 10 seconds and have it as long as I want. But the trick is that there's limited amount of hash rate on the supply side, so there's not enough sellers sometimes, and the buyers have to outbid each other for the available hash rate. So in this case, mining, I as a service provider might have to pay premium price on the hash rate. So that means premium means above hash price index. I hope that this all made sense.
Yeah, no, that was good. I didn't realize, I guess, the different avenues by which like someone would be interested in buying hash rate, but that was very interesting. I guess, how do you see like these ASIC and hash rate marketplaces evolving like over again the next 10 years? Like we've seen like Blockware, we have our marketplace. They're all kind of different too, at least currently, right? Like Blockware's marketplace is all about owning actual machines and it's all hosted machines. And then, you know, we have Luxor's marketplace, which is trading hardware, trading machines, but they're not hosted. And then NiceHash is like, you're not trading the actual machines, but you're actually trading the actual hash rate. Like, how do you see this industry playing out, or like, are these different products playing out over the next 5-10 years? Hey everyone, this week I want to talk about Stampseed. This is very cool metal plate where you can literally stamp your Bitcoin seed phrase with this hammer that they sell you into this metal plate. This is a must have for all Bitcoin holders. If you have taken self-custody of your Bitcoin, you want to make sure you've recorded your seed phrase on something that is fireproof, waterproof, and time resistant. This is a great product for Bitcoiners who have taken self-custody and want that extra level of security and resiliency to store their Bitcoin. So if you are interested in this product, definitely check out stampseed.com. Use code BLOCKWARE15 for 15% off the entire website. This expires at the end of May, so go to stampseed.com today.
So each of these products has its own niche, let's say, and I think calling all a hash rate marketplace is a bit, let's say, it's I don't know the English word, sorry. It's hash rate marketplace has different words underneath. So ours would be spot hash rate marketplace. Yours would be ASIC hash rate marketplace in a way. And Luxor's would be more of a futures hash rate marketplace. So we still need to define all these categories, I guess. But I think we're still early and we're all struggling to bring awareness how users can use these tools to their advantage. For example, someone who wants to hedge their mining operation, who wants to sell the future hash rate right now, they will use Luxor. Because that's a valid way of getting found, let's get money upfront. someone who's wanting to trade the ASICs and let's say mine only for a couple of let's say months or day or years and then sell that hardware, they will use you guys. But someone who's trying to let's say buy on-demand hash rate for different reasons or get paid premium instead of mining in a pool, they will use NiceHash. So it's still we're still early, I think. Even though, sorry, NiceHash has been around since 2014 with the same product, and we can say we have been ahead of our ahead of time.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. It's like all of the different products like are in their own niche right now, which is kind of interesting. And I agree, it's still very early. Like if we're right about Bitcoin and the Bitcoin price goes up significantly, then these marketplaces will be all doing significantly more volume than they do today, which is very interesting. Do you have an opinion on kind of a separate topic outside of mining, but do you have an opinion with what's going on with Coinbase and Binance?
I frankly don't follow that much because just the other day I saw a meme when people are making a fuss around Coinbase and Binance and they're their miners in a jacuzzi chilling out, don't giving they don't care about that stuff. So I guess I'm that guy. I'm only focusing on mining. I obviously read the news but don't necessarily follow and like think about it so much. But as far as I understand, if people would believe more in Bitcoin than any other shit coins, we wouldn't be dealing with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or they wouldn't be dealing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because Bitcoin is it's really a great innovation compared to I mean other coins or these projects, they use blockchain, but they're not so, let's say, important or so good project as Bitcoin is.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I mean, I guess my view is like money trends to one tool. Like the whole point of money is like so we don't go to the market and trade cows for chickens. Like we find one tool that's a common medium of exchange that we use to like sell one item or one service and then go buy another item or another service. And like a good medium of exchange is one that you can hold for a long time just in case you don't want to go buy something after you sell something. So yeah, it's like Bitcoin is obviously, in my opinion, the best money due to its unique monetary properties. And then it's like all these other things, like I don't think they're better than Bitcoin at money, so like what are they? And it's like I don't really even know what they are. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
I think Bitcoin is a payment system. So Bitcoin is even more than money. So it's a payment system. Then, like I said, other coins, they do not represent a payment system.
Yeah, that's also fair. On the note of Bitcoin also being a payment system, do you have a view on, where transaction fees are going to go over the next decade? I mean, obviously, as a miner, transaction fees are, currently not too much of miner revenue, but they can be, and eventually they will be when the block subsidy goes to zero. So, do you have a view on where transaction fees are going to go?
I hope they're gonna go up from a miner's perspective. That's a good thing, as you said. From user perspective, I think it's not such a big deal because of Lightning. And I've just come back from BTC Prague. By the way, it was an awesome event. And pretty much everyone was using Lightning. There was no issue with it. It was, I can say it's quite well adopted, at least in Europe. And that's why I think the high fees are necessary, such bad thing for the user, because there's Lightning, and Lightning will allow even better usage, not just sending the money. As far as I know, you could tokenize Lightning, which means that you could send tokens on the Lightning itself. Don't take me by the word here, but yeah, Lightning will solve a lot of that stuff. And hopefully for miners, the fees will go up because otherwise only the big players will be left.
It's gonna be interesting to see what happens there because we published a report with Riot and we kind of came up with the idea of, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, like the Bitcoin scaling cycle where, and we've seen this in my opinion occur like multiple times throughout history where like 2017 fees got really high and then everyone was like, oh my gosh, you know, like let's start, you know, building out Lightning. Let's make it, you know, very usable, very viable. And then we built out Lightning and then fees calmed down a little bit, you know, especially during the bear market. And then fees are very low, and everyone's like, Bitcoin has no security. Like, this is horrible. And then we go through another bull market, and then fees go back up again. And then other like scaling technologies come out, like Fedi Mint, or people start, you know, considering to use Liquid and other things like that. Do you kind of agree with that idea of like the scaling cycle of like sometimes there's, you know, periods of high fees, and then sometimes there's periods of low fees, and it kind of like balances each other out?
Yeah, if since I was GPU miner before, I obviously was following Ethereum quite closely, and there were cycles with high fees, and even especially when NFTs came out, the fees were massive. And I hope that the fees will even out, because that will give miners more stability and better way to make choices. Because they'll have more prediction about the future. But if the spikes are high enough, the average will even out. So it's like, I don't really know how to answer the question. I hope the fees will even out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I definitely, and like, I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen, but I definitely do see a scenario where fees are like extremely volatile. But I do also see like maybe we'll have like this base load of, you know, block space demand where it's like people opening Lightning channels, people closing Lightning channels, like when it's profitable to do so. But most of the time, it's like most people are just going to be using the base layer to like send and receive cold storage Bitcoin, like in large amounts.
I guess it depends on the adoption level. So, how much of stuff is going on the blockchain, and how consistent that usage of blockchain is. If the usage is consistent, then we're gonna have like you said, baseline, and then we will probably see spikes when someone will be doing something, and he'll be willing to spend more.
Yep, that's fair. Last question, and then we'll wrap it up. So like everyone obviously loves to talk about the price of Bitcoin. What do you think is next for the price of Bitcoin, you know, over the this year and then maybe over like the next 5 years?
This is not a financial advice, but obviously think the price will go up just because of the scarcity nature of Bitcoin, and the more and more use cases we're seeing, this proves that there's going to be more adoption, there's going to be more users, there's going to be user to Bitcoin ratio. Will increase, and that's what's gonna drive up the price. So yeah, in a year, which would be the halving year, I expect the price to go, let's say, probably around 100K, just because of the history of the cycles and how it grows. From that reason, I think it's gonna go to around maybe 120, 150. In the 5 years, I don't know. R really, I don't care about the price, honestly. It's good if it grows. I want it to grow. But yeah, I hope there gets more adoption. That's what I really hope.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's hard to give price predictions. I was just
Yeah,
thinking.
that's, if my friends who are not so much into the Bitcoin ask me, what do you think about the price? I've heard this, I've heard that. I say, if someone tells you about the price prediction, don't believe them.
Yeah,
Simply as that.
totally. Totally agree. The only thing that what I would say is I think it'll be higher, 5 years from now, especially after going through this bear
Exactly.
market. I think that's like the most honest answer that someone can give, but saying like
Definitely.
specific numbers is kind of not possible. But
Exactly.
that's interesting about Bitcoin. Cool. Well, Marco, thanks so much for coming on. I enjoyed this conversation. Good discussion around mining. Where can the audience go to learn more about you and learn more about NiceHash?
So I personally am quite active on LinkedIn, not as much on Twitter and other platforms. But if your users wants to learn more about NiceHash, simply visit our webpage. There's a bunch of blog posts, help articles there. That's it.
Awesome. Everybody go follow Marco on LinkedIn. But thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for hanging me.